The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. This is a San Jose Sharks News Flash.
Ted Ramey of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network here with you as Saturday morning, the Sharks made a trade acquiring a 2025 first-round pick and a conditional third-round selection from Dallas in exchange for Mikhail Granlin and Cody Ceci. San Jose will receive that 2025 third-round selection if Dallas advances to the Stanley Cup Final. The first-round selection, however, is not conditional. If Dallas does not reach the Stanley Cup Final in 2025, the Sharks will receive a 2025 fourth selection, which is Winnipeg's selection instead. General Manager of the Sharks, Mike Greer, spoke with the media. This is what he had to say.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We've got Sharks General Manager Mike Greer here to discuss today's trade with the Dallas Stars. We've got a lot of people on the call, so ask a couple of things. Please make sure that you are muted unless you are going to actively ask a question. And then if we can utilize the hand raise function, we'll know who wants to ask questions and we'll call on you guys one at a time so that we keep this civilized. So if you have a question, you can go ahead and queue up your hand and we'll get started here. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, Mike. You know, obviously, we just talked with you, I don't know, this week, and you talked about contract extension and things like that. What made this move, along with Cody, for Mikhail right now, what made this move the right move for you?
I think at the end of the day, it was the return. You know, the two, Granny and Cease, are two players that did really well for us, and you know, we valued and we set our price out, and you know, Dallas was ready to meet it. So you know, that's really the main reason why we did it now, I think.
One of the, you know, guys, Eklund and Zetterlund are, you know, two guys that Granny's taken under his wing. How did the rest of the team kind of take to seeing a guy like Mikhail getting moved to Dallas?
I don't know. Stay off here, but I'm sure it's not easy for the group. Granny's been a big part of us here since he's gotten here. You know, not only his on ice play, but what he's done off ice. He's really helped mentor some of our young players. You know, he practiced hard, played hard all the time, and tried to share his knowledge of the game. And that's kind of the way hockey goes, right? Guys, the veterans share their knowledge with the young guys, and now it's time for those young guys hopefully they learn from him and they can kind of keep building on some of the lessons and things that you know, Granny shared with them.
All right, I'll let some of the other guys ask questions before I ask some more.
Curtis?
Good morning, Mike. Can you say kind of when talks with Dallas kind of started here?
I just think you've kind of seen all the trades that have happened within the last week, right? I just think things have heated up around the league, you know, for whatever reason it may be, the break coming. And I think there's only, you know, you get out of the break and you're basically at the deadline. So I think teams just trying to get out ahead of it. So, you know, this week things kind of picked up, you know, Jim and Dallas have, you know, a good staff there, and he was great to work with. And, you know, they were aggressive for going after both guys.
I was just going to say, how much interest was there maybe league-wide in both Granlund and Ceci?
Yeah, there was quite a bit. You know, I think Ceci is someone who's proven he can play well in the playoffs, and he's a big right shot D. So I think, you know, we had a lot of teams interested in him. And, you know, Granny at one point, I think there was 11 or 12 teams that had shown significant interest in him. So lots of teams, lots of interest. They're two good players, two good people. And but, you know, we just kind of felt we were able to get what we wanted. So it's something we kind of had to do.
I guess you just kind of touched on it, but Did you view the Four Nations as sort of a soft deadline? Obviously, Granlund is taking part in that. He didn't want to risk him maybe getting hurt. I mean, did you view that yourself as a bit of a soft deadline there?
Not really, but that's kind of maybe in the back of your mind a little bit, but the market kind of dictates how things go. It's not too dissimilar than Blackie. I think in a perfect world, maybe would have held on to Granny and cease closer to the deadline, so our group could have them for a little bit longer. But it doesn't always work out that way, and the market just kind of heated up over the last week, and so that's we kind of took advantage of the opportunity that came our way.
So how do you kind of fill out your roster in the meantime here? Obviously, there's a lot of guys banged up. I think only 11 healthy forwards right now and 6 D men. What do you kind of have? Do you just plan maybe recall a couple of guys from the Barracuda just to kind of get you through here?
Yeah, we're definitely beat up right now, and hopefully we can just get through next week, get through these three games and get to the break, and then I think we should be able to hopefully get most of the guys back after that. So for now it's we expect these guys to it's a good group down there, even though this will be hard for them, but to still play hard and go out there and try and win games. And I'm sure we'll probably dip into the Barracuda with guys who deserve a recall, whether that's our young guys who are playing well, or some of the vets. Some of the vets down there, sometimes it's easy to overlook those guys, but some of our vets down there are having really good years and deserve a look up here too. So we'll kind of that's kind of how we'll fill out the lineup.
All right, thank you.
Shane?
Hey, Mike. I know this may be something that you can really answer here, but we asked you about players that could be interesting to bring back, just in terms of just what they've meant to the Sharks and whatnot. So, is that something that you can speak to with Granny and or CeCe, or at least just talk about how much they meant to the Sharks?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something I can really get into with those guys. They're Dallas Stars hockey players right now and part of their organization. But as far as what they meant to us, I think Cease was here for a short time, but I think he fit in well with our group. I think he's a good partner for whether that was he played a lot with Wally, but he spent some time with Henry and Shaq as well. So he's a little bit of a stabilizing force for our young guys. So he was good to have here. And Granny, like I said, Granny meant a lot to us, off the ice and on the ice. They'll both be missed, and but that's kind of the business of pro sports. But yeah, they were good veterans, good hockey players who were good for our group.
How do you replace, especially I guess what Granny meant to the locker room, these last 30 games of the season here? I know that you have a lot of prospects from within, but that leadership component, that impact on guys like Macklin and Eklund and Will Smith and guys like that, just how do you kind of replace that?
I mean, I don't know if we can replace it for the rest of the season. I think similar to what I said with Max there, you got to hope that some of the lessons and the things that and how he carried himself and how hard he played in practice kind of rubbed off on these guys, and they can continue to move forward with it. But be up to the leadership group that is still here to continue to lead the group and do things the right way and play hard and practice hard and kind of carry forward that way.
Both Mikhail and Cody had expressed interest in staying. I think that in this situation that you're in, right, it's important that players want to stay, obviously, in this kind of situation. And they both said that they wanted to stay. What was their reaction, I guess, when you spoke with them?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think it's a little bit of a testament to what we're trying to build here and the culture that Warzo and the group is starting to build down there, that those guys, despite the losing here, wanted to be a part of it. But I think it's never easy when you get traded. As someone who went through it myself, it's and I think I think both guys took it well. And I think they're we all play the game to win and try and win the Stanley Cup and play those meaningful and important games. So I think while there was probably some disappointment, I think there was also some excitement to have the opportunity to go to a good team that's had a lot of success over the last few years and have a chance to go to the dance and try and win it.
And both those guys, did you ever have, I guess, any talks with their representation as far as knowing what they wanted at least? And what did that play a part in this too, knowing what maybe they wanted in free agency and whether or not you guys could meet it or not, whether that was a fit for you guys? I know that was a concern or an issue with trading McKenzie.
Yeah, I talked to him. I had an idea what what they're looking for. It's I don't know. It wasn't a I don't know if it was a huge factor in this, but I think it's it played a little bit of a role, but at the same time, like I said, it was kind of a price that we said we kind of put out for these guys. And if someone was willing to match and meet the price, then where we are in trying to build it's something we would have had to seriously look at. And Dallas kind of stepped up and met the price, and we felt like it was the best thing to do. Like I said, it's looking at it from all angles, short term, and what's going to sting short term, but long term, I think it's it should be beneficial for the organization.
And finally, for me, for now, the risk of in terms of holding these players a little longer, especially Granlund, maybe you get more, but was there a risk that you might get less? Is that kind of what part of the concern was too, that Dallas kind of met your price, and if you hold these guys for longer, who knows what the market, turns to, right?
Yeah, you never know what the market is. You set your price that you think he's worth, and if someone's willing to step up early and do it, then sometimes you gotta do things earlier than you wanted to. And for Granny, there's always or for any reason, there's always, if someone's willing to meet the price you have, then the longer you hold on to them, there's always a little bit of extra risk of injury or the teams that are interested in moving on and going to another target. So it's always kind of the dance you have to play.
Thank you.
Let's go to Eric.
Hi, Mike. Can you hear my audio good?
Yeah, got
Okay,
you.
great. Great. Sorry, I've had some issues with it. Speaking of building stuff, yeah, I know you obviously have the rest of the season to play out here, and even the trade deadline, you might have some moves further upcoming. But if I can use some foresight here, you've got now more assets here in terms of the draft. You got a very you've restocked the prospect pool. You got plenty of money to spend maybe for this, so maybe for the summer, how much of a priority might you have in terms of adding some sort of or adding some impact talent, that are, right now, particularly maybe skewing younger, to kind of boost things in terms of the building this, whether through any of those mechanisms that I mentioned, if not all of them.
Yeah, no, we have to continue to add talent to our group and add good players to our group, and it's definitely something we'll look into. And sometimes when you're in these situations, you have to, while we're playing a lot of young players and they're getting their experience, you do need good vets around them. And we'll continue to look at that. And Toth and Wennberg, were good examples of that. Are good examples of that who've kind of come in, and they've been good for our group as older guys. And yes, free agents, and we'll have to continue to look at that. And we'll have to look at the trade market and things like that to look at maybe some older vets, but at the same time, maybe some of those younger vets that are in their 20s or some and things like that, who might become available. And now, we have another kind of bullet to have some. To get in the conversations if some of those player types of players do become available.
Yeah, off of that, yeah, I know you mentioned earlier this week how you were able to parlay, say that first round pick and Edstrom into Yaroslav. So, could you go, not to be facetious here, but could you go say big game hunting this summer? In terms of, real notable player that can really that can really help this club.
I mean, that's a little bit hard to say this far out. I don't want to, get too far ahead of ourselves here and start spending money crazily and have it not work out. We're still going to be smart with the money we spend and who we bring in, but we'll definitely try and add some good players. And if it's even if, like I said, even if that's a free agent market, but even if it's in the trade market where we got to use some of the assets we have, whether that's this first or some prospects to kind of add more established players, then we'll definitely be trying to be involved in those conversations.
Thanks, Mike.
Ryan Young.
Hi, Mike. Good morning. My question for you, I'm wondering, given the course of the team's record and the where you guys are in the standings, I'm assuming that's what you felt necessitated this move. And in doing so, what are your goals for the team for the remaining 28 games of the season? Thank you.
Well, I don't know if where we are in the standings. I mean, we are where we are, but I don't know if that kind of pushed that didn't have a huge bearing on making this deal or not. It was all about us, about the return and getting the value we thought these players were worth. Obviously, if we were in the playoff hunt or something like that, we probably wouldn't have made it. But where we were, it makes sense for where we are is in the rebuild and things like that. And for the rest of the season, the expectations is for these guys to continue to play hard and try and win every night, put their best effort forward and be competitive, which, they've done for most nights this year. It's been a group that's worked hard and been in games and hung around games. We've just, we haven't been able to close games for whatever reason. So, but I expect kind of the same thing for the group as over these next, whatever 20 something games we have left.
Randy?
Mike, some of your prior answers have kind of touched on this in parts, but just for clarity's sake, it's not every day, sorry, that a team trades their starting goaltender and 7 weeks later trades their leading scorer. So for the members of the Sharks fan base out there who are trying to comprehend this, what do you say?
Well, I mean, I think people, hopefully they can see what we're trying to do here and trying to build this thing up. And it's my job, like I kind of keep saying, it's my job to look short term and long term. Short term, this hurts our group for sure. Same as when we moved Blackie, it's a blow to them. But I think long term, it was the right thing to do in it. And it's going to make us a better organization and a better hockey team in the long term. So we're trying to build this thing. You have assets, you have things you need to do to kind of push things forward and give yourself the best opportunity to be successful down the road. We are where we are in the standings. To get the group plays hard. They compete hard, but sometimes people's success and the player's success doesn't line up with the timeline that we have to be a more competitive hockey team.
Thanks, Mike.
Judy?
Hey, Mike, I had a question now with Granlund, of course, gone. I was, you're playing top six center there. Will Smith has been playing wing. Do we potentially see Smith maybe get a tryout back at center after kind of a successful run here at wing with maybe, I know Wennberg's been kind of banged up here too.
I mean, it's always an option. I think Warsaw will probably talk to Will and see how he feels about it. I think Winnie could step up and eat a lot of those minutes that Granny was playing. It's something that, the coaching staff and Will will have a conversation about if we want to put him back in that middle or if we want to just let him finish out the year on the wing and get that experience of playing wing and not put too much burden or on him to play to put him back in the middle. It's a tough job in the NHL. So I don't know. We have to decide if we want to shift him back there for these last half of the season.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
We'll go back to Max.
Mike, obviously the numbers for the salary cap came out yesterday for the next three seasons. How much does that play a role in terms of trade talks and whether that also means stuff with extension talks with the Cody and Mikhail that you know preliminarily had?
Not too much. I think we have our own internal budget where what we want to spend and how much we want to spend. So we're in the phase where it probably doesn't affect us as it affects some of those other teams that are tied up against the cap, but Hasso's always been very supportive and willing to spend money if it makes sense and it's the right thing to do, and I think that'll continue as we move forward.
I don't know how much you can touch on this, but Luke Cunningham is another guy that's been rumored around. I mean, how much is there, I don't know if the mindset shifts to maybe trying to get something done with him considering that you guys have moved on with Granlund, or is it just kind of keeping all options open like before?
Yeah, no, I got to keep options open and be open-minded about any possibilities for our players. And if, if we think it makes sense to move someone, whether that's Cunningham or anyone else, we just got to weigh it, talk through it. And if it makes sense, then we'll see what's out there. But right now it's just keeping an open mind and kind of see what comes our way.
In regards to just the goals for the rest of the deadline, obviously, I would say Mikhail and Cody had two of the biggest, values from an outside perspective on the trade market. What's the goal, I guess, during this Four Nations break and maybe into the trade deadline for you and how you want to go about things?
When you're kind of where we are, it's you almost kind of see what comes your way a little bit. So I don't know if I really have any strong goals. In the past, there's been guys I've kind of wanted to move or hoped to move out that I wasn't, that we either got done or didn't get done. But, here, whether that's, Connie or Sturmey, they're guys who are, good parts of our group, good guys, good leaders. So we'll see. We'll kind of see where it goes. But I don't know if I have any goals in mind. We'll kind of just see what happens and, whether those guys moving or if it's us adding to the group. I think that's a possibility as well. If something, comes our way where we can add a player to help us in the long term, not just for the rest of the season, but maybe next year and beyond, then we'll look at that as well.
I don't know if you can speak to it, but you just mentioned, has there been anybody that has maybe gone to you and said, hey, I would be open to a move or something like that?
No, nothing like that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
We can take a couple more here. We'll start with Curtis.
Mike, do you worry about morale a little bit? You mentioned how guys have played hard all year on this team, even though it's in a bit of a rebuild here. Do you worry about morale at all down the stretch?
It's part of part of the job. These guys are in the NHL and every day in this league is it's a blessing. So I expect the guys to play hard. I'm sure today is going to be a tough day for them, but expect them to kind of get back to work and tomorrow and get after it this week. So I'm sure it's tough, but it's the business we're in and the life we chose. And, expect these guys to show up and work. And it's it's an opportunity for, whether that's young guys or older guys to play for something, whether they're playing to put tape out for us and prove they deserve more opportunity and more ice time, or if it's, showing other teams around the league what they can do. So there's always something to play for and reason to play hard, let alone from your pride of who you are as a person, as a hockey player, and to play for the Sharks.
That the first rounder you got back from Dallas, if you do use it and keep it, do you see this as a deeper draft where you can get impact players in the back half of the first round?
Yeah, I think, you know, we should be able to get a good player with that pick. You know, we're probably going to have that between that, our pick, that pick, and the pick we have at the top of the second round. You know, those should be three more really good players here that we, you know, hopefully will be part of our core moving forward down the road. So we're excited about the possibility of, you know, if we do use the pick of being on the draft, a really good player there to help us out and to continue to build out our pipeline.
All right. Thank you.
Maybe we'll wrap up with Eric.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, just in line with the salary cap numbers that have come out, I'm curious, Frank Vedrano re-signed with Anaheim on a creative contract where money was deferred. And we were starting to see a little bit, maybe more of that league-wide. I'm curious as to how much is that something that maybe you might consider with regard to either resigning or, you know, keeping your own talent or attracting talent to San Jose, due to obviously a, you know, kind of a higher tax state and those things maybe offsetting that.
Yeah, I think it was, it was a, like you said, a creative deal there for Anaheim with Vedrano. And I think it's something we have to be open to. And we've already kind of started to, you know, kind of do our homework on that and see what it might look like and how it works. And, you know, if ownership would be on board with something like that. So, we're doing our homework. You know, we're kind of in the preliminary stages of doing our work on that, but it's definitely an avenue I think we have to be open to and willing to explore, to kind of, I don't know if even the playing field's the right word, but to kind of, like you said, maybe offset some of the, the taxes or cost of living in California.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
The NHL trade deadline is Friday, March 7th. Keep it tuned to the Sharks Audio Network for all breaking news as it comes in as we approach the NHL trade deadline. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.
The Sharks will get the draw back. Settlement holds it, slides to CeCe, walks to the circle. Last one, saves, score! Cody CeCe rocketing that one to the net. And getting a piece of it was Demko, but it trickled through. And the Sharks are back in this game. The score is Vancouver 4, and now the Sharks 2. Wallman now will drop it back to Celebrini. Sharks have a minute 15 left on their power plays. Toffoli gets it on the right wing, gains the offensive zone, taken down. Celebrini, lead pass, moving in. Granlund shoots, score! He went to the backhand. Mikhail Granlund scores on the power play, and the Sharks are up 4-2. The Sharks pick it up. Toffoli comes out, slides to the middle. Here comes Wenberg, veering to his right, across the line. 10:34 seconds left as Wenberg gets the zone entry, tries the backhand of the slot, but it's blocked. Wenberg gets it back in the corner, away from Siegenthaler. Back to the point, CeCe, blast, score! Alex Wenberg wins the puck in the corner, and Cody CeCe lets the blast go. It gets through Markstrom with 24.2 seconds left in the game, and the fans explode at SAP Center as the Sharks take the 3-2 lead. Here's Will Smith now, offensive zone, stopping it, throwing it over, score! Mikhail Granlund with a perfect one-timer from Will Smith. Bang, bang, bang! Sharks 3, Predators nothing. Smith had his stick lifted there last second by Forsling, but CeCe keeps it in play. Throws it through the crease with Granlund in front, again his stick lifted by Ekblad. Now the shot tipped in front, score! A shot by Wallman was tipped right in front of a net, and Cody CeCe, right at the outside of the goal crease, I think is going to get credit for this goal. He got a stick on that and tied the game 1-1. Off the draw, Celebrini goes down low, Eklund in front, shot, score! Mikhail Granlund, tic-tac-toe, Celebrini getting it down low, and Eklund feeds it in front, and it's Granlund who gets his second goal of the game. And you know what? That is Mikhail Granlund's 100th point in a San Jose Sharks uniform as the Sharks score on the power play and take a 5-1 lead.
Will Smith taking the draw here, but loses it to more experienced Hayes. Intercepted by Smith in front. Granlund shot, score! A turnover by Pittsburgh. The interception, and Smith feeds it in front. Mikael Granlund bangs it in. The former Penguin at 7:41 of the second makes it 1-0 San Jose.